It's time to buckle up your chin straps because you are on the mic with Jay Bird and Size. Jay Bird, we're doing this from a distance this week, so going to be a little bit different show. We're not together, so we're trying our best to make technology our friend. But say hello to all our friends. Got us up to sixth again this past week for a day. We spent the whole day at sixth in the Podomatic.
Yes. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate all the listens that we get. I'm on the road here in Hilton Head. A little bit weird being away from you and doing the show like this.
Yeah, it's not quite the same, is it?
No. It's a little weird. So I don't feel that I can get crunk as I usually do sitting there next to you.
Yeah, your wife might look at you funny. She does that anyway. Well, Jay Bird, it's been a tough week for those of us not on vacation, us Gamecock fans. But for right now, we're going to stop the clock so we can talk about the
Gamecocks.
Talk about the Gamecocks. Jay Bird, man, that one hurt.
Man, what a weird game.
Yeah.
What a weird game to watch. It did hurt. I was really, really surprised. Of course, you and I both talked about how much we opening home game of the year and how much we thought we were going to dominate this week. And I was just really surprised. I was interested to hear from you. You went to the game. Of course, I'm on vacation. So I was interested to get your take on how it was in the stadium.
Well, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but the atmosphere before the game, the atmosphere when the band took the field was probably as loud as I've ever heard it. Maybe one or two other times I've heard it as loud. But and I'll tell you what, when Debo scored on that first offensive play, the place was shaking. And then we got two turnovers real quick, and it was electric. I mean, it was something powerful. It made an impact on recruits. We've got to match that for four quarters, and then the play of our players has to sustain that electricity as well. And we talked about going into this game how big it was, but how worried we were that this team might not know how to handle early success. And unfortunately, that's what ended up playing out.
Yeah, it just seemed to, not a lot of scoring going on from us after the big play from Debo to start off the game. We just really, from my standpoint of the overall game, it was just really weird. One of the weirdest football games I've ever watched. You kept waiting for that one moment in the third quarter when after halftime for us to defense to pick one off and run it to the house or do something to electrify the team. And just, normally you wait on that moment where you're going to score 14, 21 in a row like that and the ball game's over. And it was just flat. We just couldn't get anything going. It was really, really tough, really weird to watch.
It was, and it had that eerie feeling even early in the game there that this was not going to turn out to be a good situation. But I can't imagine being our defense and how frustrating. This game could have easily been anywhere from 13 to 21 to nothing with 12 minutes to go in the first quarter. Sky Moore with a beautiful, beautiful Sky Moore type interception in his coverage there just jumped the pass, gives us the ball. We're inside the 40. We get nothing to show for it. They get a bad snap, and Mr. Ballhawk himself, Jamias Williams, jumps on the fumble. The place is going nuts. The freshman almost ran all the way into the student section. It was almost like, calm down, young fella, but – we got nothing to show out of either of those drives. And then Kentucky puts a long drive together and scores. And here you have dominated the first half of the game, and you're down. And we never seemed to get in a rhythm offensively, and we never did catch up. Tell me, I know everybody's interested to hear, but I want to hear your thoughts on our offensive game plan.
To be honest with you, I know a lot of people have been talking about Kurt Roper and the game plan and this and that. I'm not upset. I know a lot of people are waiting to hear the Jay Bird rant and go for Kurt Roper, but to me, I didn't think it was any any play calling issue. I did not. I mean, I have one minor issue maybe, but you know, nothing to sit here and complain about or go, you know, go crazy about. I just thought it was one of those really, you know, the best way I could describe it is it looked like we played at Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like we were just not at home. And I don't know, like I said, I've had a really hard time with this one because this really surprised me to see that kind of flatness. You know, normally you see this from a big win at home, and then you go on the road to play an opponent like a Vandy or something like that. On the road, you just can't get it going. You stay flat, which is surprising, you know, which is what you expect to do on the road. But to come home and hit a big pass like that on the first play, like you said, and then you just didn't have a heartbeat afterwards. It was weird, really weird.
Yeah, it was. I'm going to throw some stats at you. And offensively, I did have some issues with the game plan. Not that my opinion matters. But, man, it just didn't look like we were in sync, and it looked like we scored early. And then I felt like we got so conservative and afraid to put the dagger in them early. But we only had 13 called running plays based off the stats. Rico carried the ball 8 times. A.J. carried it 5 times. Tyshawn carried it 0. And Jake scrambled 7 times. So when you look at that, man, that's pitiful. Now, we did get behind, I know before anybody said, we did get behind and have to throw the ball, but we were never behind, even behind 10 points. Then going into the fourth quarter, we're down 10. We're down 10 going into the fourth quarter, if my memory serves me. We're down 11, I'm sorry. I think it was going into the fourth quarter there, I think it was 17-6. And we got the ball on the 1 yard line. And you make the decision to go for it, which is, well, you still got to score twice. I would have kicked a field goal because then, you know, you're still playing. But if you go for it, you got to convert on fourth and goal from the 1. Now, I get it. You get stuffed by Bama or a LSU or a team from the upstate, somebody with a dominant defense. We're talking Kentucky. And maybe we ought to quit talking about Kentucky like that. They beat us 4 years in a row, but you would think we're able to recruit guys that are or have a better plan to get a 1 yard run against the Kentucky team that's not been great defensively this year.
Yeah, and that was one of the problems I had with one of our play call that I had brought up a second ago. Or one of the minor issues is, you know, we're doing these RPO type, you know, read, run, pass options, and it's to me a very finesse type run. When we were down on the 1 yard line there, we kind of ran that little zone read, run PO, RPO type play. Like, look, let's get Bentley under center and let's turn around and let's hand the ball off to a running back going downfield.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think for me, I want to see a little bit more of that. When it's time to get nasty, you know, let's do that. That to me, that's the type of run play that we're running is finesse.
Well, and a lot of it's time
for that.
Yeah, and a lot of it's what it is, it's a zone read, but it's really it's an old school outside zone. It's just out of shotgun. But the problem is if you don't get somebody covered up and you're already starting 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage before your running back even gets the ball. We don't do a lot of under center, but at least when you're under center, the running back's actually already got a 3 yard head start. And he's probably getting the ball 3 or 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage, but he's moving forward.
Exactly.
I just felt like we lacked the creativity we had in the first two games. And look, let's not get carried away. Hayden Hurst is not a running back. But everybody in that stadium, look, you went tight end around to score. And then here we are on fourth and one, and it just blows my mind that the kid, we hadn't practiced him on a fullback dive, Nobody's going to tackle him from 1 yard. you know, he just let give him the ball and let us go the old up and over. But, you know, just really frustrating game to watch. I want to give you some more stats. Our defense did not play as bad as people are saying they played. You give up 23 points at home, you got to win with our offense. We gave up 353 yards, but over 53 of that, they did not eclipse 300 yards until we gave up that long 50-something yard scramble late in the game when we got caught trying to go third and whatever it was, and we needed the ball, so we were going all out to get it. And we got caught, nobody in the middle of the field, and the quarterback took off. So that it was a desperation play. So if you take that away, we really didn't give up. We didn't give up 300 yards. But here's the difference in the game. They had 20 first downs. They were 9 for 16 on third down. They ran 73 total plays and had a time of possession of 36 minutes and 49 seconds. The Gamecocks, even though we outgained them, we had 358 yards. We had 7 penalties, which is not very good. We had only 14 first downs, and here's the problem: on third down, we were 3 for 12.
Third down, 12. They killed us.
We ran 57 plays, so we averaged 6.3 yards a play, which is not terrible, but we only had the ball 23 minutes, and that played a big role in us not being able to get in sync on offense.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Dad. Third downs killed us. We couldn't get off the field. And I think that improved actually later in the game. We had got a couple stops later and gave our offense a chance. I mean, we were in this game late. So I think we actually improved on that. I think at halftime, that third down stat was actually even more. I mean, it was real high percentage. They were converting third down at half. And we were still in it. I mean, you look at almost all the stats, and we won. But
the one that mattered.
The one that mattered. Yeah, exactly. And just a weird, weird game. And frustrating. Frustrating loss. A lot of recruits in the building. And hopefully they enjoyed the atmosphere and everything like that. I'm one of those that might be a little bit concerned about that. I've heard some people say, don't be. There was a lot of recruits there. So we'll see what happens.
We had a lot of recruits there from a lot of different sports. They all love the energy and the atmosphere. I don't get wrapped up in, oh, my goodness, we lost in front of a bunch of recruits. And, man, we the hype was we were going to be 3-0 and maybe a dark horse and for the East. And, oh, my goodness, we lost at home to Kentucky. Recruits really don't care about that. And here's why I say that. What these coaches then, not that you wanted to lose, please don't misunderstand that. But after the game, these coaches are now able to look at these young linebackers, these young linemen, these skill players, these secondary guys, and say, man, we need depth and we need playmakers. And if you're that guy, then you can come here next year. You can help us change the outcome of these games, and you can play early. And they, you know, you start looking at it. If you're a recruit and you're at an Alabama game, you know you're going to sit out a year. Well, let's be serious. Very few recruits are going to go to Alabama and start their first year. You look at a South Carolina, and man, you can find a home quick if you can breathe and you can tackle. Hey, come on down, we'll take you. But I'm not concerned about it. The atmosphere was great. There are a couple things I would like to see changed, but we'll get to that here in a little bit. So changing gears just a little bit, tough to do so. But give me a player of the game.
Well, I got to go the Debo here. He took a tough injury. We're probably not going to see him for a little while. If not the entire year. So I got to give him player of the game. Obviously he had the stats with 5 catches, 122 yards and a touchdown. Great game. Hopefully we'll see him back for the end of the year. If not, a little bit of a recovery road here. So hopefully he'll be okay. And our thoughts are with Debo.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And we talked last week about him. Could he maintain the pace of being in the Heisman talk? And if it wasn't for this injury, man, he didn't do anything but help himself in that conversation against Kentucky. I mean, didn't even play the whole game, 122 yards. You know that he would have been a big focus late in the game there when they were kind of in that prevent. So he could have added – he would have ended up with over 150 yards. But just a guy that, man, you know they're paying attention to you when he scores on the first play, and then to have an injury like that is heartbreaking. But I'm going on the defensive side of the ball for my player of the game. I'm going with T.J. Brunson, a name that we need to start getting used to hearing. For the second time this year in three games, he's been over 10 tackles. So he had 11 tackles, four solo tackles. He's everywhere on the field. A young linebacker there that we need to continue to improve. He does tend to get lost sometimes in his, sticking his nose, trying to make a play late in the game and got out of position. But those things are going to happen with young kids. But great to see. I mean, you know, he had 11 tackles and the next closest one had seven. So that, I mean, that shows you how much he's been flying around the football.
Absolutely.
J-Bird, give us a, you could go with several people on this. Give me a get it together, man.
Well, I'm going to go with the kicking. The kicking game was absolutely just terrible. I know we missed a kick from 54 yards. Yeah.
Missed two from 50 plus.
Yeah, which is tough, but we also had some real close ones, up in the 40s. Guys, we need a kicking game that can make that. We've had a long stretch of really good kickers, and it's tough to us to watch that between the last few Suck Up and Fry, and we've had some really good ones here lately, so we'll see what happens with the kicking game. But, guys, we got to get it together there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I missed a 52-yarder early there in the first quarter after one of those turnovers. And then, darn, if we don't make a 49-yarder, get a penalty and back it up to 54 and miss that. And then we had a different kid kick the 42-yarder. And J-Bird, it was nowhere close. It was right there in front of us, and it barely got halfway through the end zone. It was pitiful. We got to get that together. J-Bird, I'm going with a bigger group than the kicking group.
What you got?
I'm going with the fans again. Good grief, people. I mean, listen, I was there. And look, I've been going to these games for 29 years. I've watched us lose a whole lot more than I've watched us win. But these people we're down 11 points and you're getting up and leaving in the third quarter. That's pitiful. Now, you want to talk about what impacts recruits. That impacts recruits. Not the entrance, not the flames not working, not was the DJ too loud, not was there water pressure in the restroom or how long you had to wait in line for a bowl of peanuts and a Coke. They don't care about that because they're never going to have to worry about that because they're going to be on the field. What they care about is when the time gets tough and they look up in the stands and what used to be loud and crazy is now empty. So any of you fans out there listening, you left early and you justifying it based on their effort or I'm not going to watch this, I pay my money. Look, when you come to a game and you call yourself a fan, you're part of the family. You're stuck there for the good and the bad. So I started telling people when they were leaving, hey, don't turn around and high-five me later in the year when we beating somebody good. Don't celebrate with us then because if you're going to leave now, So we got you pictures. I took you pictures. Some of you, we called you by name. Tommy and Donna and Frank and Judy. I don't know what their real names were, but every single person that left in my section got a name, and they knew it. I mean, we're not. That's just not called for. Leaving during games early. I don't get it. I really don't.
That was one of the best get it togethers I've heard in a while.
I could go the whole show about that. So we better move on. We better move on. Well, I tell you what was electric, and that was both times 2001 was played. Boy, that place was shaking. So, J-Bird, we're going to take a small pause here and let our fans hear the great tunes of 2001.
Let's hear it.
Thank you. not quite the same as being there, but I tell you, last Saturday between 2001, the hype videos that Justin King and his staff are putting together, we're getting something special going. The recruits are coming. Fans, chill out. We're going to get there. Something special.
All right. Woo, I didn't hear it, you know, I wish I can't wait to get to my first game this year so I can feel those goosebumps when it plays, boy. Woo.
Well, I tell you, they said it wasn't fun to be in the press box because that bad boy was a-swaying. Well, Jay Bird, we're going to, instead of talking about some questions this week, we're going to talk about one big topic, and we know we're going to try to be quick here because we need to get you back to vacation, but we took a big injury Saturday to Debo. Had a couple of other significant, Zach Bailey, one of our best linemen out too, but what do the Gamecocks have to do going forward to try to replace Debo?
Well, obviously we talked about him being in the Heisman watch for us, what he means to our team. So you can't replace that. If you want to take a positive to this, it did happen at a position at probably our most talented and deepest position. Now, like I said, he's not replaceable, but I think almost as I would put the Zach Bailey injury almost as up there with him. Zach Bailey means a lot to our team too. And luckily, I don't think he's going to be out the length of time. But you're talking about a very good tackle there, and you know that's really significant too. So luckily, we got some good depth at receiver to help us out there. Shy Smith, an upcoming freshman, he's been great. And of course, we have Brian Edwards on the other side. So, what are your thoughts about the injury?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, you can't replace a kid like Debo, much like you couldn't replace a kid like Lattimore. Those are injuries that people say that, well, one player doesn't make a team. Folks, you're exactly right. It is a team game, but one player certainly makes a difference in a team, especially when they have the leadership skills like Debo. It's a great opportunity for guys like Rock Davis to step up. We got to get guys like Ortrey back learning the playbook. I think that's part of it with these young guys. It was great to see Ortrey, another freshman, going all the way across the field. I mean, he was right there in front of us and then caught it in the far corner of the end zone for a touchdown. We're going to have guys step up, and it's going to be tough. There's no way around it. It's going to be tough. It's going to impact it's impacted this week's spread, which we'll get to in just a second. But Zach Bailey, hopefully high ankle sprain. You never know how big boys respond to that, but hopefully it won't be long. This has hurt us, and I don't want to say it's cost us a game yet, but it's got the potential to be that kind of injury that does at the end of the year. You look back and wonder, could we have won one or two more games if that hadn't happened? But that's the way. Hey, that's the way the game goes.
It is.
You know, and when it happened, it didn't look good, even from where we were sitting. And one of the first things out of my mouth was man, it might have broke. That might have broke. You get pulled back like that, and that's not a good thing. So, well, let's talk about something else that was not very good Saturday. Our picks.
What's that?
Our picks.
Oh, they were atrocious.
They were, man. They were awful. I mean, here we were. We were rolling right along. You went 1-4, and I went 2-3, so that ties us up at 8-7 for the year.
Whoo, that's a rough Saturday with picks.
It was, for me. It was, you know, and good grief. A lot of craziness out there. But anyway, we're going to regroup this week. This week we're going to pick. We're not going to pick based on coaches we like and don't like. That bit us last week, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
And so here's who we got first. I'll give you the first one here. We got Texas A&M at Arkansas, and Arkansas minus 2.5 on that, which has changed a lot. That's probably a pick 'em, 2.5 for being at home. But boy, A&M is sliding fast. Who you taking?
You know, I'm going to take Arkansas here. This is at a neutral site in the Dallas Stadium. There, I think. But, you know, I'm a big component of these running teams beating these spread offenses, and A&M's just look bad anyway. They've been squeaking by. I'm taking Arkansas.
I'm going with A&M because I figure they're going to get it together the week before they play us. This is going to be the game they figure it out, and then we'll have to go to their place and play in front of a crazy crowd. So I'm taking A&M. That's one we're different on there. All right, so here's a crazy one now. We got Bama at Vandy. Vandy coming off probably the biggest win in program history, or at least in recent years, but they are getting 18.5 points at home.
You know, this bit me in the butt last week, and I'm not going to let it get me this time. I am going against what I always say. I am going to take Vandy here. You know we have a saying.
That's right.
The home dog.
Yep.
The home dog getting points. I like this Vandy team. I like that coach up there. They are playing some good football. They don't win. They don't win here. But they stay within about 17 here and barely cover that spread.
I'm with you. I'm taking Arkansas. I'm taking Vandy as well. Last week we got away from our rules and it hurt us. I'm taking the home dog here. And I think they lose by 17, but that means we cover. So we're good with that. You got the next one?
Yep. The next one, I like this game a lot. Florida at Kentucky. Kentucky coming off a big win on us again on the road. Who are you taking here?
I'm taking Kentucky. I'm taking Kentucky. Florida still got a lot of guys suspended. Florida with a big win last week, but it was on a last-second Hail Mary, which had no excuse having a receiver behind you that late in the game. Tennessee continues to find ways to – we find ways to lose. They find ways to lose in the last second. There's no team that's got to be harder to pull for than Tennessee because they have lost more games in the last 10 seconds in the last 5 years of anybody I can think of. So I'm taking Kentucky.
I got to agree with you 100%. Big win for Kentucky for them beating us on the road. Kudos to them. We did not play well, but this team believes in themselves, and Florida's just not that good. I just don't think they're as good as they're putting off to be. Kentucky is going to – I think they're going to win this game. They're going to be, what, 4-0?
Yeah.
I'm going with Kentucky. I mean, unbelievable. So, next game we got on our pick slate – we have Mississippi State at Georgia. Big game here. Georgia is -5.5.
That game's between the hedges. I'm taking Georgia to win by 6, so I'm taking Georgia.
Good pick here. I think Mississippi State, I kind of hit on this in the show on what I think normally happens. Big win at home against LSU. They're fired up. They're going to go on the road for a letdown game here, and I'm going to take Georgia as well.
Well, that leaves us with one more, and we hadn't talked about the good guys yet. So 3:30, Williams-Brice. Oh, Willie B will be rocking again. La Tech coming into town. The Gamecocks are -8 as of this point. So who you taking?
I think – we are furious about this loss from Kentucky. I think we are really, really mad. I think we're going to come out playing big time, very inspired. We're going to beat a La Tech team, and we're going to beat them pretty good. I think I take us to win 35-17 Gamecocks.
I like it. Oh, Skip Holtz is finally going to get a chance to be the head coach on Williams-Brice. I didn't like him when we had him. I don't like him now. I don't like anything about it. The only person that left us in more trouble than Spurrier did was the Holtz family. It was a disaster when Spurrier got there. It was a disaster when Spurrier left. I tell you what, Muschamp, that team might have been unprepared last week. They will not be unprepared this week. We are going to beat La Tech and cover the spread. And we're going to get some things going. I think we're going to force ourselves to run the ball. And I'm looking for the defense to get some early turnovers and finally get some sacks this week. So I'm taking the Gamecocks a little lower on the score. I'm going 27-14. But good guys win. And Jaybird, 3-1 after the first four games. If at the beginning of the year I told you that was our record, we would have taken it. Now, we probably wouldn't have been happy with the Kentucky loss, but at that point it's irrelevant if we're 3-1 going into A&M.
Yep, you're exactly right. And that's when we did our predictions at the end of the year, I think both of us had us at that. Like you said, we thought one of those losses would come out of NC State or Missouri. We definitely wouldn't expect it at Kentucky. But here we are. We're kind of right on pace where we projected to be. We don't like it, but that's where we are.
That's where we are. Yep. Well, brother, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a wild one Saturday. I'm going to let you get back to your vacation. And fans, we appreciate you enduring the audio challenges this week. But we made the best of it. We're not going to miss a week and an opportunity to talk about our Gamecocks. So, Jaybird, you get back to vacation with your wonderful family and tell our fans.
Yep, we appreciate it again. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. Go Cocks.
Go Gamecocks.